Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are here tonight for our prayer call. Tonight we will be joined by our Dr. Carter and our Minister Randall. They've come to give us some inspiration and some information and some God. So tonight we're going to give them time to express themselves as God has laid on their hearts to do. We're going to do some praying, and we're going to have a good time in the Lord tonight. At this time, without further ado, I will turn it over to Minister Randall, and we will get the show on the road. Minister
Randall.
Good evening.
Thank you, Sister Lewis. Thank you, Sister Beverly, for those who are listening on tonight. We give honor and we give praise to God just for being God on this awesome Friday, and I just thank God for the move of God. Most of all, I thank God that He's a God that never changes and His word remains the same, and that's so important because it doesn't change. We can always count on His word, and that's why it's so important we have His word within us, because it doesn't change. So He's consistently being God. He's consistently doing the things that He said that He would do, and so that's so important as we go into this next phase of life, this next phase of our journey, and all the things that we're facing. So again, we account it as a privilege to be able to come to the air and be able to share the good news, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share our faith, because there's a lot of people who don't have the opportunity, or it's against the law. They would be headed if they even tried to call on the name of Jesus or confess the name of Christ. So we thank God for the opportunity and the platform to be able to do so on tonight. Dr. Carter will be sharing with us on tonight. We received an awesome prayer for all the men and women of God that were online on Monday, and just empowering us. And prayer is definitely needed. As I stated before, there are places that are open 24/7, but everything except the house of the Lord and everything except prayer lines are open 24/7. So I do thank God for touching the heart and burdening Sister Beverly with this initiative to bring the body of Christ together so that we can walk in the way that God has called us to walk in this time and in this season. So again, Father, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for just being God. We thank you for everything that you're doing, everything you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, that your blessing and your anointing has come up over the man of God. We'll be sharing the word of tonight, that as he shares the word of God, that we may be food to our soul, Lord. But not only will we be hearers of the word, but we'll also be doers of the word. And Father, now we ask you to open up our mind. We ask you to open up our hearts to receive the word that you have for us, Father. And Father, as we pray tonight, Father, we ask you to look on our communities, Lord. We ask you to look on our families, Lord, our states, Lord, our nation, Lord, our country, God. God, the whole entire universe, Lord, we ask you to just power down your spirit, Lord. Father, we ask you to release your angels on today, Lord, and that those things that are in heaven, that we would have a power and the knowledge to bring those things to earth, Lord, as we walk in your commandments, that we keep your statutes, Lord, as we do your perfect will, Father. Father, we just ask you, Lord, to give us the strength, give us the courage, the attachment to do everything that you call us to do. So the last evil days, Father, that we will be we will be advocates for your kingdom. We'll be advocates for your kingdom building, Lord. We'll be advocates for our nation, Lord, for our communities, for our families, to go, Lord, where you've told us to go, to do what you've told us to do, to be what you called us to be, Lord. Father, we need you in this hour, Lord. We ask that you have courage rise up in us, Lord. Make us courageous, Lord, to do your will, Lord, to do your work, Lord, as we honor you, as we give you praise, as we give you glory, Lord. And Father, Lord, tonight again, we just want to say thank you just for being God. We just want to say thank you for being our Father. We want to say thank you for being our healer. We want to thank you for being our deliverer, Lord. We want to thank you for being our mind regulator, Lord. Everything that you are, Lord, our provision, Lord, we just give you thanks on tonight for being God, an awesome God, a wonderful God, an all-knowing God, a God that never changes, a loving God, that while we're yet sinners, that you died for us, Father. So on that one note, God, we magnify you on tonight. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, we thank you, Father. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
And with no further ado, we're going to go ahead and hand it over to Dr. Carter, and he will go with God, lead him on tonight. Again, we thank you, Sister Beverly. We thank you, Sister Chandra. God bless you.
Amen.
Good evening, everybody. And again, Sister LaChandra, thank you for having me on tonight to come and share with the people of God. Of course, as you know, it is always my privilege, amen, to share the word of God with anyone.
God bless you.
And so it's just greatly just exciting to be able to do so. And so again, I'm not sure if we just jump right into it, if where we are right now. And so let's get. If I want to share something, amen. What we a little bit what we highlighted on earlier this week, as it related to vision. We had been sharing some during our call during the week concerning vision, in which we had used blind Bartimaeus as a backdrop. And of course, another word for blindness is visionless. And so we were being creative with our thinking process and allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate, amen, for us that story between Bartimaeus and Mark chapter 10, where Bartimaeus sat on the roadside and he was begging and he was blind. And his condition, amen, gave him the right, the privilege, amen, to beg or be in the occupation, I should say, that he was in as a beggar. One was because he was on the road of Jericho, and that Jericho road was a very long road in which there were many beggars that was there. And again, the road was designed for transition. It was planned for mobilization and going forward and moving on. But however, he's in a place of transition and he's stagnant, and therefore in the place of the transition, he's begging. And he's begging again because he is blind. But he heard one day that Jesus was passing by, and no doubt he had heard that how he had been opening blinded eyes, and he began to cry out. Now, his cry was different from any of the other people or participants that joined themselves on the road, because, again, there were many people that had been on the road, but he was the one that actually did something different. He changed positions. He changed postures. And he had to do so because he wanted his vision, wanted the sight. Matter of fact, he admitted once Jesus asked him, what does he want him to do for him? He said, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. And he received his sight, of course, after throwing aside his cloak. And the Bible says, after he threw aside his cloak, that Jesus answered him and said to him, and what do you want me to do for you? Now, of course, you don't answer anything that had not been spoken to you. And so when he threw his cloak, he was literally speaking, he was literally sharing and communicating his faith, which actually opened up an opportunity for him to receive vision. And I believe that in such a time like this, that we need, amen, some people that are willing to change positions strategically, take a chance and step out and do something differently. Amen. And again, this is why this call is in this medium that we have tonight is so wonderful, because we get a chance to witness the works of somebody somewhere, amen, that was willing to step out and do something a little different. Amen. And so we're blessed tonight. I want to share something with you tonight out of Habakkuk. Amen. If we can just look at Habakkuk really quick. Habakkuk. Chapter 2, I believe it is, where we want to go tonight. Habakkuk chapter 2, and which is actually very familiar, and I want to start from there, share from there on tonight. And so Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse number 1, I believe it is, where we want to start our reading. Amen. Habakkuk 2, verse number 1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set up and set me up on the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what I will say, what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry. It will not tarry, but it shall surely come. And again, he's sharing this vision that is for an appointed time, a select time, a designated time in the earth. And in the earth, we understand that there is a time for every purpose. According to the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time for every purpose, and there's the manifestation of vision, amen, for every time. And so when we deal with the word purpose, is the word prothesis, and that it literally means the thing that is set before. It's translated from the word showbread that is used in the Old Testament, in which David, who was King David, ate from while going into the tabernacle. He ate of the showbread. And when he was eating of the showbread, he was eating of the bread that had been set before. The bread that was set it in a specific place where the priest would eat and therefore go into the presence of God. It was a symbolic revelation of the manner in which they would receive of the supernatural provision of God in the wilderness. But yet these priests in the Old Testament would make this bread, and David himself, being the king, would go in and he would eat this bread. Now, it was illegal for him to eat the bread because the bread was for priests. But yet he wanted a part of purpose, amen, and he was willing to take a chance and do what somebody else wasn't willing to do. That word bread that's used for the showbread there, it is actually the same word that's used in Romans chapter 8, where he says, all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. His purpose, that word purpose there is the same word that is used for bread. It is the showbread, or it is the prothesis, or the bread that was set before. He says that all things will work together for those that are called according to his purpose, because his purpose that already been accomplished, amen, before time had ever initiated. But what we are doing as believers, we are coming up to the level of what has already been done, and God is trusting us with his finished works that we would see them through until they come to manifestation in the earth realm. In order for him to bring those finished works into manifestation, he has to bring us a revelation, which is revealed knowledge that comes from the heavens that we refer to as vision. Vision. I was sharing earlier that a lot of us have, well, for me, I had great ideals, but it was not a vision. Vision, again, was something that was redemptive, and it was revealed knowledge, which was literally the release or the disclosure of the mind of God given to me for a distinct purpose and reason. Well, what purpose was it? It was the purpose that was to initiate and to impact the time that we were in. And so in Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, the Lord answered me, and he said, write the vision and make it plain. But before we start writing, we got to understand what it is that we are writing. Vision does not start, amen, when he says to write the vision and make it plain. But vision actually starts in Habakkuk chapter 1, in verse number 1, where Habakkuk talks about the burden in which the prophet Habakkuk did see. The burden in which the prophet Habakkuk did see. Now, he says that this burden in which he saw was, amen, the degradation of the people of God, the decline that was going on in Israel at the time, and how the people of God lived their lives and how the devastation would occur as to his view or in his sight. And so Habakkuk is worried or burdened, I should say, with this thing. Like some of us are burdened. We're burdened with teenage pregnancy. We're burdened with drug abuse. We're burdened with so many issues that are going on in the world right now. And we're going to God and we're praying and we're screaming out and we're calling out to God because we're literally asking God for answers. We're not just calling to God just so that we can lift our complaint up and drop another complaint into his information box, but we're literally asking God to not only give us an answer, but we're asking that God would, as part of the answer, because if we didn't expect to be used as part of the answer, amen, we probably wouldn't even be praying for it. But however, because we are asking God to be a part of his end-time strategy, we're asking him to be a part of his end-time overall plan, which sometimes as believers we're missing that there's a mandate for all of us, that this whole thing that we're up to is not just about our churches, our ministries, our businesses, our associations, our the works that we perform, but literally we are all trying to do our part in God's unfolding plan, his unfolding mystery. Amen. He says in one place, he says, as sure as I live, my glory shall fill the entire earth. That is his end time plan, that his glory would fill the entire earth. Now, I understand what is going on in the world, and I also understand some of the things that have happened to us by way of that we are acknowledging by prophecy. By prophecy, we've acknowledged that we've seen amen, the degradation. We've seen wars. We've seen and heard rumors of wars. We've had earthquakes in diverse places. We've had tornadoes in strange places. And so everything that has been prophesied concerning the world is starting to come to pass. And the ill part is that most believers are even becoming afraid or timid, amen, as if the church is on the low end, amen, instead of vanguard in this movement, or vanguard as it relates to resolving issues that are happening or resolving issues that are coming up. But it's almost as if we're freaking out ourselves, and it's like, what is the church going to do, and what is the church going to do, as if the church is some weak, feeble entity, in which the church is not a weak or feeble entity. What we refer to as the church might be weak or feeble, but what the church actually is not weak, nor is it feeble, because, again, the church has made it all the way through slavery. The church has made it through the Great Depression. The church has made it through all types of chaos and confusion, and it still yet remains. It's still standing strong. Matter of fact, it's the longest-lasting entity that is up on the earth. The church, the people of God, is still here. We're still fighting. We're fighting even if we're clueless. We're fighting even if we are estranged. Amen. We are fighting, and we're standing there, we're asking God, and we're crying out to God. And some of you all are trying to figure out what is happening in you. Why is it that you care so much? Why is it that you're so passionate about? Well, literally, when you see the degradation and you see the problems and the issues that are going on, and your heart began to become heavy for these things, literally what you're doing is you're being granted with a privilege of a burden. The privilege of a burden. And the burden that you are privileged with is literally the burden of God. God is trusting you with his pain today. So much so that he believes that you're so connected to him and so rightfully joined to him that you're going to take his pain and not just sit on the couch and talk about how bad it is, but you're literally going to seek the Lord and besought the Lord so that he can come and reveal to you and give you answers and strategy. I want you to see what happens in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not say? Why do you show me iniquity and show me the grievances? Behold, I see these things. For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment does not never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." Look at verse number 3. He says, "Why do you show me? Out of all the people, why do you show me? How is it that I catch what other people that I think should be catching is missing? How is it that I'm catching as a member of my church some things that even my pastor is missing as it relates to the burden, amen, of what's happening in the society and the world as it is? Why is it?" I just told you, I said that God is allowing you the privilege of his burden. And what he's doing is he's allowing you to see things on a different level. And what if he's going to move, amen, up on the issues of life that are happening now, he's going to have more than just a sermon to get it done. Because if a sermon would have got it done, it would be done by now, because we have had more sermons, amen. We have had more sermons. We have had more church. We have had more church entity, but yet it is not coming to pass. And the reality is this, is that there is no actual vision. I want you to look at 1 Samuel, if you would, in chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I think I'm going to start at verse number 1. No. 1 Samuel chapter 3. In one moment. Yeah, we'll start at verse number 1. And the word says in verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation." There was no widespread revelation. That the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Now, when the Bible refers to Samuel ministering up under or at this time, amen, under before Eli, what he's saying is that he has served under Eli's administration or under Eli's ministry. He's under Eli's authority at this time, or how things are done under Eli. And so the Bible says that at this time, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no open vision. One translation says, I believe the King James says, and the New King James says, that there's no widespread revelation. Now, understand this, that there was no word, but there was a lot of preaching going on. There was a lot of doing going on. There was a lot of sermonizing going on. There was a lot of sacrificing going on. But the word of the Lord was rare in that day. And because the word was rare, or there was no release of God's word, that there was no open vision. Now, understand this, that vision, amen, is a product of God's word being sown, amen, and also revealed or uncovered. That word revelation means the uncovering or the pulling back. In other words, it's when God is pulling back the covers and when God is revealing to you and allowing you to see stuff that he's not allowing other people to see. Habakkuk was the prophet, amen, that was given the vision. And a prophet in the Old Testament was known as a seer and not a speaker. And he would see things in God, and as he would see things, he would begin to speak things, amen, as he saw it. He would see the things that were uncovered, unfolded, the things that were not to the natural eye. And so as everyone else was complaining about what was going on, the prophet was seeing solutions. Amen. And so again, a prophet was not a speaker, but a prophet was a seer. And the thing is, we have a lot of prophets. We're calling ourselves prophets, and we're speaking, and we're doing this thing, and we're speaking, but we're not seeing nothing. And I believe that if you're not seeing nothing, then you don't need to be saying nothing. And so, again, we have so many people on the radio as well as television that is doing a whole lot of talking but have not seen nothing. Because when you see the thing, then you will see that you are given the responsibility of the answer to the burden. Because all vision, amen, starts with a burden, but the burden that it starts with ends up in solution. It ends up in solution because you take the burden in which you see, or the thing that God is allowing you to see, or to be troubled with, or to be impacted by. And what he does is lead you to a place of intimacy or prayer. Because it is in intimacy and prayer where things are born. It's where things are conceived. This is where you engage and come in contact with the will and the plan, the strategy, and the purpose of God. And again, there's a lot of people preparing for their Sunday morning service, but not enough people trying to hear from God so they can release the mind of God given to man, amen, that come by the Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit makes intercession for us. What is the mind and the will of God? And he reveals that mind and he reveals that will and interchangeably gives it back to man. And we take the mind of God, which is the answer that has been given to us by revelation. Again, revelation is something we are seeing. And so what we are seeing, we are speaking or communicating what we are speaking, what we are seeing. And so the child ministered unto Samuel. Samuel, the child Samuel ministered before the Lord, before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation, or there was no open vision. There was nothing being pulled back. There was no covers being taken off the thing. So watch here. The Bible says, and it came to pass at that time when Eli lay down in his place and his eyes began to see, that he could not see. And the earth of the lamp went out in the temple and before the light went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And it was there that the Lord called Samuel. Where did the Lord call Samuel? The Lord called Samuel where the ark was, amen, where the lamp or the light of God or the revelation of the Spirit of God was going forth, but the Spirit or the lamp or the light was beginning to go out. It was beginning to go out. And it was at this time that God called Samuel. And at this time, Samuel was a little boy. And him being a little boy did not know as much as he know now about God. Amen. He was growing in the things of God. And yet God called him, and he called him at such a time where the scriptures even admit that he was young and he was inexperienced. But yet that's how God wanted him, because he knew that even in his youthful or immature or in his developing stage. Now, when we're dealing with youth and we're dealing with young, especially to scriptures, you cannot buy all the time the age that the person is at. But when you're dealing with youth and those kind of things, you have to understand he's also dealing with the stage of a person. And so yet God was trusting somebody that was yet at a growing stage with a powerful world-changing vision, a world-changing vision. And it was that one that had to come to Eli and was asking Eli whose administration he was up under, who rightfully, whom he should have went to. And I know we talk about Eli and talk about the things that Eli did not do, and we know that Eli eventually lost his priesthood, and he lost his priesthood because he would not restrain his sons. He didn't restrain his sons. His sons had gotten vile, and they had gotten loose, and they had got careless with the things of ministry. Sound like a lot of preachers today, where they gotten careless, and they gotten loose with the things. And as long as they got their 500-member congregation able to buy a Bentley and get a pinky ring and keep it moving, they feel like they have accomplished something in God. But again, they become very casual, and they have no idea that if they look behind them, that the light is going out. And if they had any sensitivity, they would be able to feel that the light was going out, even if they didn't see that the light was going out. And so here it is that their lights are going out, and Samuel is being raised up at such a time that the light is going out, and the ministers and the preachers and the pastors are being irresponsible as it relates to not their assignment at their local facilities, but their assignments to the regions in which they serve. Whenever God releases a ministry or a vision in the earth that we call a church or otherwise, he is literally not just releasing a good ideal, but he is releasing an answer and a solution for that particular region. The Bible says that when Habakkuk got this vision, he said, "The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain." Because vision was the answer to the problem that was going on. Remember, he said, "Lord, why do you allow me to see this?" He said, "I'll let you see it because I'm going to give you the answer. Matter of fact, I didn't show it to nobody else because I know that if I gave them the answer, they wasn't going to do too much with it anyway." So I commend those that run things like this and involve themselves and engage themselves on ministries and mediums as such as these radio shows and so forth, because again, it is people that are willing to step out and at least take a chance. And you'd be surprised how many people criticize you for stepping out at such a stage, and they say, "Well, maybe somebody else could have did this, or maybe the first lady in my church could have spoke better than that, or maybe somebody from the organization that I was in could have did a better job." Yeah, but they never had any complaint or any say-so until somebody actually started stepping out. They had got satisfied in just having enough, where we didn't want all the fanfare, we didn't want all the glamour, the glitz, we just wanted to do the will of God. And because we were hungry for God, God allowed us to taste his burden and give us that privilege so that we sought the Lord. And now the Lord has given us answers and given us strategies, but yet our works, and not only our works, but even some people, amen, just have a heart. They're admitting they don't have a degree in theology. They are admitting that they don't know it all. They are admitting that, but they said, "For God I live and for God I die, and so I'm willing to take a chance and step out. I'll step out at a time that I'm youthful. I'll step out at a time when I don't have it all. I'll step out. I'll step out because I realize that the light is going out. The light is going out in the church. And if the light is going out in the church, the light is going to go out in the world." And the thing that we're seeing happening in the world, we are blaming the world and the politicians, but the reality is that God does not move upon the nation based upon the state of that nation. God moves upon that nation based upon the state of the church within that nation. And if the church has let its light go out, if it let its light go out, if it allows the glint and flickering of God's word and revelation in the earth to go out, then we'll be in trouble. But I want you to say hold. I want you to stay fast and hold your peace. And I want you to posture yourself, because there is revival coming, amen, to America. And God is going to raise up some things that's going to blow your mind. He says he's going to use the unlikely, amen, to do the likely. He said he's going to use, amen, the things that are immature. He says he'll use the foolish things of this world, found the wise. He'll use things that you think is nothing and call them something. He'll use somebody, amen, didn't have no degree, didn't have no testimony, didn't have no understanding, didn't have no money, didn't have anything. All they had was a burden in their heart. Took that burden to the Lord. Lord began to show them things. And what they saw, they had the courage and the tenacity to go after that thing. And because they had the willingness of heart, because they carry God's burden, not just from the start, but they are willing to finish it out to the completion of the thing. And they're literally saying, "For God I live and for God I'll die. And if you give me this work, if you give me this vision, I'll stand up and I'll do it and I'll release it in the earth." The question was this: why did you show me this? Why do you show me? And it wasn't that God was showing him as much as it was. No. He went to God and he began to ask God questions, began to lay before the Lord.
spent intimate time with God. And some of you that listen to my voice tonight, amen, have spent intimate time with the Lord. And you have laid before God with quality time to the point that you went into your room and you got down on your knees and you began to pray before the Lord. You went in by yourself, but after about 2 or 3 minutes, after engaging his presence, after being in worship and really surrendering your heart, that you went in by yourself, but you was no longer alone by yourself, that God himself began to fill the room and you felt his holy presence. And I know there are times that in our lives of ministry, we during prayer or other times of worship, we've seen and felt the visitation of evil spirits, and we accredited those spirits. But it seems that if we discount the presence of the anointed one and his anointed when he shows up, he still shows up today. And he shows up in times of intimacy. He shows up in times of ministry. He shows up at times when we are setting ourselves apart, sanctifying ourselves so that we can be used by God in a holy and a mighty way, a powerful way. And I want to let you know tonight that because you're setting yourself apart, God is literally entrusting you with this burden and allowing you to see it, not just see the problem, but God is empowering you, endowing you, infusing you with answers. And I know people are trying to shut you down and quiet you down and want you to be quiet like blind Bartimaeus, but this is the time that we have to cry out even more because we need vision. We don't need another sermon. We need vision. And if our sermons don't have a word, don't have an answer in it, we don't need to hear your speech. We need to hear from God. We need vision. And through that, God is birthing works like this, works such as this, that people could come to and receive prayer, come to and receive a word. They can come to it and be blessed. They can engage and have an encounter with God where they can get solutions and answers and not always cry about the problem, not always cry about the pain, but they can be optimistic and find some hope now. Because somebody is willing to stand in the wilderness and cry out in the middle of the wilderness, crying out, crying out. It's a Samuel being raised up. He was young. He was immature. He wasn't everything that he was going to be, but he was on his way. He ran to Eli, and when God was calling him, he was immature. He had not yet been familiar with the voice of God. And so when God was calling him, he ran to Eli, and he ran to Eli 3 different times. And he said, "Did you call me? Did you call me? Did you call me?" And we dogged Eli out because people felt like he should have recognized that God was speaking to him. But I like to give Eli some credit because Eli took the time out to mentor the young man. He took time out to show him how to handle the word of God that was coming to him. He said, "I recognize that God is speaking to you. And the next time you hear that voice, go do this, go do that, go do the other." And it was in that place that Samuel began to grow in the things of God because he had had a right setting, someone mentoring him. And right now God is raising up also mentors in the earth that are catching and identifying the unusually gifted and recognizing that we're not just going to oversee church builders and oversee, but overseers and pastors and bishops need to understand that our fundamental calling is to oversee. And if we are bishops, we are to undergird purposes and lift them up. Purposes in the earth, not just in the pulpit. When you were a bishop in Corinthians, you were a bishop of Corinth. You was not a bishop over First Bishop Church. You was the bishop over the causes and the purposes as it relates to the Christian and the bodies that were in Corinth. And so there are other works that are in the city that are going up in the name of God like this one, and that they're just looking for something to get up under its covering, or its covering to come and cover it, for it to get up under it and push the purpose. And so if God is raising me up to be any type of voice or any type of impact, I like to use my voice to get up under it, to push it, and say, let's go further. Let's go higher. I know you're going to receive some resistance from others that should be walking along with you, but just know that there's prayer behind you. Know that there's somebody confessing the word behind you and saying, run, keep running, while you bring supply to the street, while you bring answers and solution. When you're willing to provide care and assistance for teenage pregnancy, when you're willing to stand there and feed homeless people, when you're willing to supply young children with school supplies and make sure they are set right for educational purposes, when you're willing to give yourself as such, I'd like to salute you. I'd like to honor you. And I say, give me the privilege of just being able to pray for you, being able to push you and speak the word of God over you while you impact this world with a mighty move. God is going to use some, amen, that most people thought wasn't going to end up to be nothing. But I come to tell you, he's going to take the thing that was planned to be nothing and make it a whole something. You're on your way. And if you're under the sound of my voice, I know that this time that we shared tonight was not by accident, but it was by providence. And God wanted to share with us something. He wants to let you know that it's more than just you, but it's all of us that are coming together. He is sending a clarion call throughout the spirit right now and bringing people from the north, south, east, and west. He's bringing them in. And what I've noticed, there was a time that when you church, you used to go to church in wherever your church was located. You went to the community church. That's where your church was. But now people are driving hundreds of miles, amen, to come to church now. They're not just going to churches in their local community anymore. And the reason being is because they are joining themselves, amen, to people that are thinking like they think, hearing as they hear, that there's a call coming out and there's an answer. And so people are driving freeways and driving and flying just to come to an answer and a solution. They will come from all over just to get an answer. There was a couple that used to drive over 3 hours a Sunday just to get to our church because they wanted an answer. They wanted a solution. They didn't want any more service. They wanted to hear and experience the presence of God like no other. And this is what's happening through these mediums such as Blog Talk Radio. That God is using a new thing in the earth to communicate his will, his promise, and his strategy to show someone that there is vision in the earth and we don't have to die at such a time as this. But we can multiply his glory, and we can stand as his ambassadors in the earth like he said he would make us. And we can end our day knowing that we've done something to glorify God, that our life meant something, that we have some significance and meaning behind our living, that God was before us. And therefore, we understood that there was no one that could be against us. And we actually just came like the woman that had the issue of blood. The Bible said that when she said within herself that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she could be made well. She just touched the hem. And she just get to him and touch the hem. And Jesus said by the time she got to him, he said, honey, your faith had made you well. You were healed before you even got to me. And she said, I recognized that when I was in wrath that my blood dried up. I didn't have all the stuff that I used to have. It wasn't as heavy. It wasn't as bad as I was in wrath, as I was in movement, as I was in faith. I walked by faith. When I started moving by faith, when I started moving towards the answer, I started being the answer. And so she pressed through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. The Bible says that considering that she was already healed before she got to him, what was the purpose for pressing through the crowd? The purpose for pressing through the crowd was because she wanted not just to be healed. She wanted to be whole and wanted to be whole enough that she can walk in the truth and the reality of his word because she wanted to touch the source of the answer, so this thing can continue to flow, so she will not live a life of disruption any further. No more setbacks. You're too called and you're too perfect to be set back any further. Too called and too perfect to be resisted anymore. God's going to use an immature thing, an underdeveloped thing, and use it to raise his glory in the earth, to show a bunch of know-it-alls that they don't know it all, to show a bunch of people that are wearing suits and crying in the streets and acting as if they got the answer, but really don't have the burden. God's going to take somebody with the burden and use it for his glory. So you ask, why do you allow me to see it, God? He allows you to see it because you are the answer. You are the solution. You're the one that God's going to use in this day and in this hour to bring forth his glory. God bless you. And I thank you for allowing me to share with you this evening. Let me pray for the people of God. I'm going to turn it over to Minister Boundary and between her and Sister Tandra. We can work it from here. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name,
thank you for this wonderful opportunity. This opportunity of grace that you give.
I understand, Father, that your voice is very important in the earth realm. And Father, you give me a voice like yours that reverberates to speak on your behalf. And therefore, the communication lines of the Spirit are catching my transmission. And therefore, the angels of the Lord are moving round about and communicating and teaching as the Holy Spirit is doing its job. I thank you, Father, that answers are coming. People are getting vision. That people are no longer discouraged, but they're beginning to lift their heads up and say, wait a minute, that we're not on the low end. We got to be on the front end. We got to hold our chest out, and we got to be strong at such a time as this. I thank you, Father, that you're sending mentors to encourage people
I thank you, Father, that you're sending fathers in the Lord to speak over divine purposes and strategies of the earth, and therefore making them legal in their administration as well as their execution. And therefore we say to our sons and daughters by faith, run. We say to our daughters and sons by faith, run. Go on and see what the end will be like. We say to our Samuel that when God says to you again, go do this and go do the other, we not only give you permission, but we give you information. Here it is, what we have, we give it to you, that you may take it and you may not be shortchanged, that you may not be fooled, or you may not be manipulated as you're just doing the will of God. We speak covering. We speak blessing. We speak promise. We speak solution over this medium of Block Talk. Father, make it, allow your glory to be seen and revealed through this place. Let countless of lives be impacted for your glory. Let millions upon millions upon millions, Father, be touched. In the name of Jesus, I bless you and I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor. In the name of the righteous one, our King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior, we thank you and we praise you and we thank you for your best. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Of course, Dr. Carter, the awesome word on tonight, and to all the Blog Talk listeners, and again, Sister LaChandra and Sister Beverly, just for the opportunity. Wow. Just an awesome word, still burning within. I hope that everyone was blessed by the word on tonight. We keep hearing that, and it's prophetically, that revival is coming. And I believe that the revival that is coming will lead to an awakening, not just of our cities and towns, but of our nation. And that's what God is wanting us to do, to wake up. There's no time for us to be sleeping spiritually, but it is time to wake up, and it's time for us to put the work in that's required. I was talking to someone today, and they asked the difference between facts and the truth, and why we were so caught up on facts and not willing to seek the truth. And I replied that finding the truth actually requires reducing work. And God is calling us to that work. Faith without work is dead. And it's time for us to seek the truth. It's time for us to get into it and do the extreme things to expect extreme results in our life. So again, Sister Beverly and Sister LaChandra, we thank God for you and the opportunity on tonight. And at this time, Sister LaChandra, I'll give it back into your hands. You can lead as God leads you on tonight. And again, thank you and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Randall. Pastor Carter, we do thank you and appreciate you so very much. And Beverly, I think she wants to talk with Pastor Carter for a second. If you will put him back on the line or let him talk to her, she has something she needs to ask him.
Amen.
Amen.
Good evening, Pastor Carter.
Good evening.
Oh,
good
evening. I enjoyed it this evening. I enjoyed it when you came on the other day. And I enjoyed it this evening. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you for saying it.
My question, when we were listening, I texted LaChandra and asked, would you consider coming on either weekly or biweekly on our show?
Amen. God bless you.
I didn't do it.
How can I refuse? How can I refuse? Amen. And I will communicate with her within the next day or so, my availability, but definitely I would do so for you. God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Just work it out with LaChandra, and she'll tell you what to do and all that stuff. But I'd be honored if you'd come on.
Oh, I'm blessed. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And yes, I will communicate.
Amen.
With Sister LaChandra, and then we'll go from there. Okay.
Oh, thank
okay.
you. I've enjoyed this week so very much. You know,
yeah.
God told you to do something, you do it. You never know what doors he's going
right.
to open, who he's going to bring. And this
right.
has been an awesome week. It really
right.
has been
Amen.
An awesome week.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're just looking for the better. And, anything we can do to help, we're more than willing to do so. And keep us in your prayers, and we'll definitely keep you in ours. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you again. I'm humbled. Amen.
Amen. Well, again, we want to thank you, Pastor Carter, for that word and for teaching us out of Habakkuk tonight. I have gained a little more, so a little more and a little more each time I
hear
you each. And on, we do have a call, prayer call on every morning at 8 a.m.,
okay.
Beverly. I was intending to tell you about that. You know, I just have so many things going on. But there, he does have a prayer call every morning at 8 a.m., Monday through Friday, where he or some of his members have a conversation, or he comes on and gives a word, or we just get together and lift up each other, share with each other, and we're just enlightened in the morning. I can't say anything because I'm at work, but he gives us a chance and opportunity to express ourselves, to ask for prayer, to go before the Lord with him and his members from L.A. So I wanted to tell you about that, and what I'll do is I'll text you the number that you can join in if you would like, but it is so inspiring, and it makes my whole day go smoother and better. Once that I get on that call with them every morning, I am so, so enlightened. So,
well, I look forward to that.
It's so prayerful. Yeah. It's wonderful. So he already has that, and then on Tuesday nights he has a teaching session or whatever the Lord leads him to do on Tuesday night, he does that. So, you know, his schedule is kind of big, and then he's a minister. He has his own church, the Ladder House, which is in Los Angeles, California, and on Sunday mornings, I can't get to him then. I hate that, but okay. Okay, maybe one day he'll go on something. But Pastor, you do Periscope?
Yeah, well, we're actually getting ready to launch our Periscope in about 2 or 3 weeks from now, and
okay.
We want to be in a little excellent way. And so, yes, we are in preparation to do so. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then I can hear you then too. Okay, thank you. Hurry up, tell me that. Okay.
Well, that's a good thing, because I just talked to Joel this morning about sending our podcast on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hmm.
All right.
So we have a YouTube account, a YouTube channel, and so Joel is going to start working on some of the podcasts going on YouTube, so that people will be able to see you as well on our YouTube channel.
Okay, very good.
Wonderful.
Thank
wonderful.
You so much.
We just gonna get you. we gonna get you.
Well, now you're telling you're not only in California, you're also in Texas.
Okay, all over Texas, all over. But we thank God for you, and we do honor you, and we thank you for helping us and coming on this week with this prayer line and everything that you do for us here in Texas, and for taking out of your busy schedule to be a part of Granny's Place. My sister, my friend, Granny's Place Ministries, love you.
Yes.
We thank you and appreciate you so much. Okay?
Amen. Thank you for your time.
Amen. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to ask you to have the final words, and we are going to let you go and enjoy the rest of your evening. It's just, 10 minutes to 8 there?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you can enjoy the rest of your evening, and thank God for you. Okay. So you go
God
ahead
bless.
And have the closing remarks.
Again, thank you all for this opportunity. I pray that someone receives something from the Lord that was enlightening, impact you in such a way that it changed your life for the better forever. And again, whatever we do in Christ, we're excited, especially when God is glorified and the enemy is horrified. And so we're going to continue to move out as God has blessed us to do. And I pray a blessing over all of you all. And it's infectious that I always say that we are
amen, that we are rich and abundantly supplied with money and what money cannot buy, and that we have greater riches than money. And so we acknowledge those things. So I just want to say to you all, God bless you. Remember that you are rich of mercy. You're rich of grace. You're rich of righteousness. You're rich in so many areas. And just God is up to really up to good concerning you. And so thank you again for allowing me to share. And I can't wait to continue this conversation of faith with you in the future. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And okay, Minister Randall, I need to know if you're going to be able to join us in the morning at the meeting. I'm going to put you on the spot right there.
I won't be on location. I will not be on location, but I can join via phone if you want to use the conference line. If I can give you my conference line information, you can conference me in. And what time is the meeting?
It's at 11, from 11 to 1.
So I'll send you our Thursday night meeting conference line, and you can just conference me in.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, in the name of Jesus, we thank you all for joining us. We love you all. We send you to have a great evening and a better tomorrow. And God bless you. Take care. Beverly, is there anything else you want to have to say?
No, I just thank Wanda, Ms. Randall, for coming on this evening and always doing such a wonderful job on her podcast. And I look forward to Dr. Carter, to hearing more from you. I'll get that number start coming in, calling in at 8 o'clock for her. But I look forward to you being on our podcast and doing great things. And I love that her background. I really wish you'd go on that a little bit more.
Amen. Amen. Minister Randall, did you have anything else you wanted to share with us?
No, thank you. I just want to thank you both, Sister Beverly and Sister LaChandra, for just the opportunities and the doors that God keeps opening and how God keeps connecting us in so many different ways. And so I'm just grateful for that. I'm excited about this season and the partnership that God is putting together. So I just want you both to know that I love you and always praying for you and looking forward to hearing you on the call tomorrow morning. And I'm believing, God, that this event that's taking place will be the biggest ever. I believe it's in the month of October.
Yes, ma'am, the 22nd.
Yeah, I'm believing, God, that this is going to be the biggest event ever, not just by size and number of people there, but just about the things that God are going to do on this session that's coming up. So I just want to encourage you both to continue to moving forward.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, we'll continue to pray for you, and you continue to pray for us and watch God change things. I love it.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So with that, I'm going to end the show and ask that everybody have a good night, and we will talk tomorrow.
All right, ladies, good night.
Good night. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
All right, good night.